The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can we remove confusion about what it means to be saved? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners like yourself. So if you've got one of those questions that keeps you up at night, keeps you scratching your head, I hope you'll send it to us. You can reach us through email. Send to radio@faithalone.org. And we look forward to hearing from you. Let's jump right to our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar for the day. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus, where we're discussing theological questions. Often those questions have to do with salvation. There's a lot of people out there. They know about Jesus. They know about Christianity on a surface level, but they've heard a lot of untruth mixed with truth, and it all gets really confusing. You know, and I saw a great picture the other day, and it said free grace, A to B, and there was just a straight line with an arrow from A to B. And then the second part of the meme was lordship salvation, and there was A to B, and the line just went squiggly, 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 squiggly all over the place. I think what it was trying to illustrate was that, you know, when it comes to salvation, we're just really clear. There's just one condition of salvation.
Yeah, let me give a quick personal anecdote. I taught for 1 year at Multnomah School of the Bible, now Multnomah University in Portland. Sharon and I attended two different Bible churches during that year. One Sunday, we had an evangelist in, and this was a world-famous evangelist, a guy who spoke in front of 50,000 people in full stadiums, etc. He was explaining to the people in the church what they needed to do to be born again or saved or have eternal life.
Yeah.
I took out a piece of paper and started writing down all the things he said, and he came up with nine.
Okay, nine.
One of them was believing in Jesus Christ for your salvation.
Yeah.
But the other eight were things like receiving Jesus as your Savior, receiving Him as your Savior and Lord, mm-hmm. receiving Him as your Lord, committing your life to Him, turning from your sins. You know, he had nine different things. And he was all over everywhere. Trying to put myself in the mindset of someone who didn't know how to be born again, I thought after listening to this man, I would think it's hopeless. I mean, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
It sounds like the way to be born again is to decide to follow Jesus and then keep it up for the rest of my life. And if I'm faithful till death, then I'm going to make it.
Right.
It was a very bizarre kind of thing. And this was from a leading evangelist.
Yeah. Sometimes I think people make the mistake of they don't want to be boring, so they don't want to say the same words over and over and over again, believe for Jesus.
Right, which I get.
You know, and so you want to kind of add variety to your language, but we underestimate how confusing that variety. I mean, sometimes people think it's actually becomes a separate condition, like John's gospel talks about receiving Christ, and then it clarifies that receiving is actually believing. But
right.
I can imagine someone saying, well, it's not enough to just believe. You got to believe plus receive, because they've just used this metaphor for faith. And now people get confused, and they think it's actually not a metaphor, but a second kind of condition.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad. But anyway, you had a question. Is it related to
this?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, here's a couple questions. So, for example, this is JT, and JT says he's confused about what it means to be saved. I believe in Jesus, but I'm constantly feeling like everything I do is sin. And I'm also always thinking hypothetically about if God wants me to do something dangerous, will I go to hell because I'm disobedient? He's worried, I guess. If God asks him to do something dangerous.
I think you could have people who would say the opposite. Let's say I want to go do hang gliding, or I want to do parachute jumping, or I want to fly experimental planes, and I'm risking my life. There would be people who would be afraid they'd go to hell because they were flitting their life away on these dangerous pursuits that God doesn't want them to do.
Right.
Now, he's going the other way. He's thinking, well, what if God wants me to be a missionary in Myanmar now where, you know, there's a coup and political upheaval, or Haiti where they just killed the president or something.
Yeah.
You know, either way, you can have people like that. But see, the underlying problem, JT, with what you're saying is you're saying you believe in Jesus, but whatever you mean by that is not what the Bible means by that. For example, in John 3:16, it says, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. But yet, JT, you're afraid you're going to perish. You're afraid you don't have everlasting life. And so as a result, you don't believe what Jesus says in John 3:16. If you did, well, you would know that it doesn't matter how much sin is in your life. And by the way, we all have sin.
Yes.
And we all sin daily. We probably all sin hourly. I don't know. I'm not aware of all the sins I commit. But I know I commit a lot of them, and they grieve me. And hopefully they grieve you too, JT, and I'm glad they do. But the point is, Jesus on the cross already paid for all our sins. He died on the cross, removed the sin barrier, so that simply by believing in him, we are guaranteed we'll never perish, we'll never die, we'll never hunger, we'll never die spiritually, we'll never hunger or thirst spiritually, we'll never be cast out, no one can pluck us from his hand. Your concern about if I don't do something dangerous that God's asking me to do, first of all, where do you find that in the Bible? It sounds like he's going by impression. I have some impression that God wants me to be a missionary. I have some impression that God wants me to do something dangerous. Where's the verse in the Bible that specifically says that? There's nothing that God's going to require of you in order to keep everlasting life. The only condition of everlasting life is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you do, you're guaranteed you'll never perish, you have everlasting life. It's a done deal. I would encourage JT and any of you listening that lack assurance to pray about it. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says if we ask, he's going to give it to us. If we seek, we're going to find. If we knock, it's going to be open to us. Matthew 7:7-11. Just ask him for assurance of everlasting life, and then I would suggest read a portion of John's gospel every day and ask God, show me. Can I be sure simply by faith in Christ? And God will show you. Take your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not trustworthy. JT already knows he's not trustworthy because he sees sin in his life. Great. That's half the battle. The other half is put your vision on Christ.
Yeah.
He's the one that guarantees everlasting life, not you. Jesus guarantees it by faith in him.
All right, JT. Here's a question from Clay. Clay says, if a Christian decides to give up their faith in Christ totally, and he says, for example, Bart Ehrman, do they lose all rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, or do they only lose rewards for the period of apostasy in their life, but they still get rewarded for their Christian life before their apostasy?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, I don't think a person can decide to give up their faith. Basically, what a person can decide, as Bart Ehrman did, is to go to a very liberal school for your doctorate, and then while you're in the doctoral program and you start hearing things that are challenging your faith and causing you consternation, instead of praying about it and saying, maybe I should back off here and talk to some friends and get answers to some of these questions my professors are raising, instead you start drifting. Over the course of time, Bart Ehrman lost his faith.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he chose to give up his faith. What he chose to do was not to take time out when he was starting to have some concerns to seek God and get the answers. Instead, he kept drifting and ultimately lost his faith. The other part of Clay's question, would the person lose all reward? The answer is no. In my book, The Road to Reward, I talk about two types of rewards. One I call instant winners, and one I call perseverance prizes. Let's talk first about the instant winners. Jesus said in Matthew 6, after talking about those who pray to be seen by men, those who give so as to be seen by men, those who fast so as to be seen by men, and he said, if you do that, that's your full reward. There's no eternal reward. But he said, if you pray and give and fast to please your heavenly Father, then you're laying up treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can't break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So it's like as you do it, you're laying up treasure as you do it.
With the right motive, of course, because that's the issue in Matthew 6, is the right motive to please God, not to please men, not to impress men. If you're doing something right with the right motive, then you have laid up eternal treasure. But the other part of it are the perseverance prizes. So in terms of the instant winners, let's say Bart Ehrman walked with Christ from ages 8 to, let's say, 22.
Okay.
Well, during those 14 years, he had lots of instant winners.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is stuff he will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. But the other part of it is perseverance prizes. And those are the big ones. Those are the main ones. Paul says, if we endure, we will reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Jesus says, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Revelation 2:26. So, persevering to the end of our Christian lives is necessary in order for us to rule with Christ. And from the book of Revelation, especially chapters 2 and 3 and 22, we know there are a whole bunch of rewards that go along with ruling with Christ, like a special white garments, a special white stone with a name that Jesus has only for you, the hidden manna, the right to the tree of life. There are lots of other rewards that are associated with being an overcomer and a ruler in the life to come. And those perseverance prizes, Bart Ehrman and people like him are not going to receive unless he were to come back. And if he came back to the Lord, he would lose all of the time that he was away. All of that would be time he wasn't laying up instant winners or perseverance prizes.
Yeah.
But if a person were to come back, well, then they would start laying up perseverance prizes. And by the way, the perseverance prizes are not just all or nothing. They're not either you rule or you don't rule, but they're degrees of rulership.
Right, right.
So we know from the parable of minas in Luke 19:11-27 that some will rule over 10 cities, some over 5 cities, some won't rule at all. And we can envision everything from ruling over a whole country to being a partial ruler of a city.
Sure. All right, Clay. Instant winners are forever, and perseverance prizes, well, you can lose if you don't persevere.
Right. Yeah.
JT, Clay, it was good to hear from you, and it'd be good to hear from you guys, too, if you send us your questions, thoughts, comments to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to go to our website and pick up a copy of Bob's book, Road to Reward. You can find it in our bookstore. That's Road to Reward at faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the relationship between repentance and forgiveness. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.